I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA One of the Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear stories from Brian Lynn, John Russell, and Andrew Smith. Then we hear an everyday grammar lesson on comparatives and superlatives. Finally, we present the next part of our National Parks series. But first,
a new study suggests that particles found in wildfire smoke could increase the risk of getting dementia. Dementia is a progressive brain condition that causes thinking problems and other health issues. There are several forms of dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. Researchers reported the new findings about wildfire smoke at the recent Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The study centered on a substance called PM2.5. The substance is known as particulate matter, a mixture of small, solid particles and water droplets found in the air. PM2.5 particles are about 30 times smaller than a human hair. They can be breathed into the lungs and then move on to the bloodstream. Existing evidence shows this kind of pollution from traffic, factories and fires can cause or worsen heart disease. The new study finds it could also raise dementia risks. Claire Sexton is the director of scientific programs for the Alzheimer's Association. She said in a statement, the study shows that increasing wildfires, especially in the American West, are an increasing threat to brain health. Sexton added that the findings demonstrate the importance of enacting policies to prevent wildfires and investigating better methods to address them. Researchers from the University of Washington and the University of Pennsylvania carried out the study. They examined health records of 1.2 million older adults in Southern California between 2009 and 2019. The scientists used air quality monitoring and other data to estimate how much PM2.5 was released from wildfire smoke or other ways over 3 years. The study found the risk of being diagnosed with dementia increased about 21%. For every 1 microgram increase in the concentration of wildfire particles. That compared with a 3% increased risk for every 3 microgram increase in non-wildfire particles. It is not clear why this difference exists, but with wildfires increasing, this issue needs more study, said Alzheimer's Association Chief Science Officer Maria Carrillo. She said it is especially important because the risk of Alzheimer's, the most common form of dementia, is higher for lower-income populations who may have a harder time avoiding unhealthy air. Carrillo noted that health warnings urge staying indoors when air quality is poor. But she added, there are a lot of people who don't have the option to stay home or they work outside. I'm Brian Lynn.
Years ago, on an Indonesian island, scientists discovered ancient bone remains of an early human species that stood about 1 meter tall. These early humans became popularly known as hobbits. The name comes from the small human-like creatures that appear in books by English writer J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, a new study suggests ancestors of the hobbits were even shorter. Yosuke Kaifu of the University of Tokyo was a co-writer of the study. Kaifu said in an email, "We did not expect that we would find smaller individuals from such an old site." The discoverers of the first hobbit fossils named them after characters in the Lord of the Rings books. The fossils date back to between 60,000 and 100,000 years ago. Researchers found the new fossils at a place called Matamenga, about 70 kilometers from the cave where researchers found the first hobbit remains. In 2016, researchers suspected the earlier relatives could be shorter than the hobbits after studying a jawbone and teeth collected from the new site. Additional examination of a small arm bone piece and teeth suggests the ancestors were 6 centimeters shorter and existed 700,000 years ago. Dean Falk of Florida State University was not involved with the research. Falk said that the researchers in the study have convincingly shown that these were very small individuals. The findings appeared recently in the publication Nature Communications. Researchers have debated how the hobbits, named Homo floresiensis after the Indonesian island of Flores, developed to be so small and where they fall in the human evolutionary story. Homo floresiensis are thought to be among the last early human species to die off. Scientists do not yet know whether the hobbits shrank from an earlier, taller human species called Homo erectus that lived in the area, or from an even more primitive human ancestor. Scientists need more study and more fossils to learn the hobbits' place in human evolution, said Matt Tocheri of Canada's Lakehead University. In an email, Tocheri, who was not involved in the research, wrote, "This question remains unanswered and will continue to be a focus of research for some time to come." I'm John Russell.
Extremely small pieces of plastic, called microplastics, are in the ocean and the air, as well as in our food and water. Scientific study has discovered microplastics in human body tissues also,
including the heart, liver, and kidneys. Some researchers worry that microplastics harm human health, although they say that science has not found clear evidence of that. Still, they say questions remain about the possible health effects of microplastics. Manufacturers mostly use oil or other petroleum products to make plastic. The material is used to make a huge number of different products: water bottles, car parts, children's playthings, clothing, electronics, and more. Heat, weather, and even animal digestion break down plastic into smaller and smaller pieces. Microplastics can be 5 millimeters long at most, or as small as 1 micrometer. A micrometer is 1/1000th of a millimeter. Microplastics have been found in salt, sugar, honey, rice, and seafood. They have also been found in milk, soil, and drinking water. Researchers disagree about how much plastic people might be breathing in or taking in as food and drink. Still, many studies find evidence of plastics in body tissues. Tracy Woodruff is a researcher at the University of California at San Francisco. She said, "Microplastics have been measured in pretty much all of the body tissues that have been evaluated." Scientists are still trying to answer the question of how harmful microplastics might be. In 2022, a World Health Organization report found no clear risk to human health based on the available evidence. There is also not clear evidence of widespread public health effects. However, researchers only recently began to measure plastic levels in the human body and learn about their possible effects. Woodruff of UC San Francisco said it makes sense that microplastics are harmful because they contain poisonous chemicals. The researcher was part of an investigative team that examined nearly 2,000 studies about microplastics at the request of California state lawmakers. Some evidence suggests plastics can increase inflammation and other changes in the body. Such changes could increase the risk of heart attack and stroke. Researchers say there are ways to reduce possible contact with microplastics. Take off your shoes before you go into your home. This helps prevent the spread of microplastics inside. Eat foods, especially fresh fruits and vegetables, that you prepare at home. Do not heat foods in plastic containers, Woodruff said. And, she added, use metal or glass water bottles instead of plastic. I'm Andrew Smith.
Adjectives describe and add information about the people or things we see every day. Sometimes, though, we want to know how two things compare to one another. Let's start with something light. In 1994, actors Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels made a comic film called Dumb and Dumber. Audiences saw the characters do increasingly dumb things for laughs. Here, the adjective form is dumb, and the comparative form is dumber. By adding er to the adjective, you show the difference between two things, that one action or person is dumber than another. This works for adjectives that have one or two syllables, such as nice or pretty.
But when a word has three or more syllables, you cannot use the er suffix to make a comparison. You cannot say a person or object is beautifuler than another. Instead, you say they are more beautiful. There is a rule you can remember to help with comparatives. If a word has more than two syllables, you do not use the suffix er. Instead, you use the adjective more before the adjective of comparison. For example, the test this week was more difficult than the one last week. Other comparatives, especially in advertising, may not directly mention which two nouns are being compared. The retail giant Walmart has an advertisement that simply says, "Live better." Live better than whom? So if a laundry detergent advertisement claims to make colors brighter, you may ask, "Brighter than what?" When the nouns that are being compared are not specifically stated, you can call it an empty comparison. Listen for the comparative in this song by Steve Winwood.
Watch out for irregular forms of comparatives. There are some common one-syllable adjectives that can be confusing. The adjective far is an example. It seems logical that the comparative of far would be farer, but the comparative of far is farther. My house is farther from work than yours. Another comparative form of far is further, as in, her career has progressed further than his. Traditionally, farther refers to a distance that can be measured. Further refers to a distance that cannot be measured. Nowadays, many people use farther and further interchangeably. This confusing exception has to do with spelling and pronunciation changes in English during the Middle Ages.
Comparatives like these do not tell us too much about the degree of comparison. So we can always compare things that are similar as long as they are a little different. For example, the planet Saturn is big, more than 116,000 kilometers across. But the planet Jupiter is bigger. On the other end of the scale, an ant, a very small insect, is longer than a mite. What if we are trying to make a specific comparison between many things? Then we use the superlative. The superlative describes the highest degree of something. The comparative of good is better. The superlative form is best. Listen to singer Tina Turner use the superlative in her hit song, The Best. You're simply the best.
On the other end, the comparative of bad is worse, and the superlative is worst. Little becomes less, and then there is least, comparatively speaking. You have to pay attention with comparative adjectives, but adding est to regular adjectives gives you the superlative form. However, as with the comparative form, if the adjective has more than two syllables, use the most to form the superlative. You can hear the superlative with the most, followed by a three-syllable adjective, in this song by Prince.
Many Americans celebrate the Halloween holiday on the last day of October. Halloween is associated with the spirits of the dead and all things frightening and terrifying. Young people wear scary costumes. The time of year can be termed spooky. When comparing, we could say one costume is spookier than another. But the most frightening of all is the spookiest.
Rounding out our survey, let's look ahead to the end of the year and the Christmas holiday. Some might say it is the best time of the year, whether for its religious significance or the spirit of giving during that holiday season. Some might say it is the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
Telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Tomorrow we present our weekly program, Ask a Teacher. Andrew Smith will answer a question from a listener in Egypt. Let's hear that question now.
Dear teacher, I'm just asking about the difference between arrogance and ego because I hear actors use them interchangeably in movies.
Listen to the program tomorrow to hear Andrew's explanation. If you have a question about American English, send it to our email, learningenglish@voanews.com. Today, on our journey to America's national parks, we visit the country's first national park, Yellowstone. VOA Learning English produced this national parks series in 2016, to mark the 100th anniversary of the U.S. National Parks Service.
Yellowstone National Park became America's first national park in 1872. The National Park Service was formed 44 years later in 1916. Yellowstone which is mostly in the state of Wyoming, is considered an example of the success of the national park system. Humans have been present in Yellowstone for more than 11,000 years. The first organized exploration of the area, which lies close to the continental divide of North America, took place in 1870. Those first organized explorers must have seen right away how special the land was. Yellowstone contains beautiful mountains, deep canyons, lakes, and rivers. The name Yellowstone comes from the river running through the area. At first known as Rock Yellow River, it became known as the Yellowstone River. Yellowstone is host to many different species of plants. However, the park is most special because of what lies underneath it. It sits on top of an ancient supervolcano known as the Yellowstone Caldera. The caldera is 48 by 72 kilometers, and it remains an active volcano. It is believed that the last time the volcano exploded or erupted was 1.5 million years ago. The area has had 3 major eruptions in the last 3 million years. Experts say it may erupt again in another 1,000 to 10,000 years. But each year, there are thousands of earthquakes at Yellowstone. Most are too small to be felt by people visiting the park. Yellowstone is filled with the beauty of many thermal or hot water springs. Of all the geothermal places in the world, half are in Yellowstone. In places of geothermal activity, hot water and gases are trapped under the Earth's crust. In places like Yellowstone, they rush to the surface in the form of hot water and steam to form geysers. There are more geysers and hot springs in Yellowstone than anywhere else on Earth. The most famous geyser is Old Faithful. It erupts about every hour or hour and a half. The eruption can last from 1.5 minutes up to 5 minutes. The amount of hot water it expels in that time can be as much as 31,000 liters or more. In addition to its beauty and wonder, Yellowstone is an animal sanctuary. It is home to the largest group of wild animals in the lower 48 United States. As you travel through the park, you can sometimes see them in their natural habitat and hear their calls to mate and defend themselves. Listen to this elk's bugle. There is still a Wild West in America, and its name is Yellowstone. I'm Dorothy Gundy.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.